Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are live. We are here. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I guess Joey can't use this ever again to re-record because I keep telling I'm live. That's pretty funny. Well, don't worry, he won't use this one as a best of because we don't plan on being away for a few many Saturdays down the line, so we'll be here for you. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Bill in Windsor. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. For both security and control reasons, I'm interested in knowing what's involved with setting up your own server, both from an equipment standpoint and technical requirements and, you know, advantages, disadvantages, a ballpark cost to set up, and more probably more important to maintain.
Yeah.
And lastly, is this something that you, your thoughts, is this something that you would recommend?
So is this for personal use or is this for a business?
Kind of both.
Okay. So this is what Tab does every day. We build servers and set them up for our clients every day. And so some small businesses out there don't have a server. And what happens with that is that you lose credentialing, right? So people with their devices, their computers, don't have to log into anything. With a server, you have a central security device that will actually credential the person that will allow them to see the network. So number one, that's a great thing. Also, a server can manage your printers in a central place. So your copiers, your printers, and those things that you're having trouble with without a server because there's no managing force, the server can do that. It also stores all your data in one place, one secure place, because again, you're credentialing the access to that server. So now you've got one place for your apps, one place for your data, one place to manage your security to that data, and then one device to back up. So again, for a small to mid-sized business, you know, five users all the way up to hundreds and hundreds of users, a server can handle all those things. As far as cost and expertise, it's not something you're just going to crack open the box and try to set up on your own without some level of understanding of Windows Server 2019. That's the latest version of the server operating system. There is a quote-unquote essentials flavor of server, which we would never recommend ever, period. We see it out there all the time, though, but I would not recommend it. Recommend a true server operating system. And to load a server operating system, the software is going to cost you about $1,000. And it'll give you the ability to spin up two virtuals on a physical hypervisor. So now you're not just dealing with loading software. You have to understand virtualization, setting up a hypervisor. So again, it's not something that the average person probably wants to tackle unless you got a lot of time to learn it all, which maybe you do. But there are companies out there like Tab that do this all day long. And as far as costs go, a basic server can run you about $5,000 for a good processor, enough RAM, enough hard drive space, enough drive redundancy, enough processor, enough upgradability so that you have a system that'll give you at least 6 years of service. That's what I like to get out of a server, at least 6 years. So, I mean, you know, I don't know, Bill, if it's for both home and business use. It sounds like you've got a very small business. How many users would be connected to the server for you?
Couple.
Just a couple, yeah. I don't know if you want to.
I think it was more in terms of the security and control over it, where that's becoming more and more of an issue today.
Oh, yeah. Definitely it's a good tool to use for credentialing and security versus just a peer-to-peer network. If you're just running Windows 10 or Windows 7, there are tools there where I could sit down and get into your system rather easily.
Okay.
A server's a lot harder to hack. Not impossible. There's a lot of dinglings that leave RDP wide open. But that's a whole other problem.
We'd be running both PCs and Mac computers.
Okay. Yeah. Macs can connect to the server. They're a little more fun, but they can.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bill. Yeah, you too. Bye bye. But yeah, most small to mid-sized businesses would have 1, 2, 4, 10, 20. Depends on what each server has to do and its role in life. That's what we do for our day jobs. Let's go to back to Marty in South Windsor. Hey, Marty.
Hey, guys. Before I head over to my mom's, I wanted to take a look at something, one other thing here, too.
Oh, sure.
I'm actually fired up one of my own computers here at Windows 7.
Yeah.
I'm in the advanced settings or the customized settings.
Yeah.
And one real quick question here. It says, obviously, turn Windows Firewall on if you're home network and then public network. I saw exactly what you guys were talking about.
Good.
But if you do the public network, mm-hmm. should you turn off the home or the both? They both should be on?
Well, you'll choose the instance of
you're
where you
do
exist.
You're going to do one or the other. You've got to choose one. You can change it later if you want to.
Right. So if you're in a public network, you're going to choose that. If your machine is in a home network, you're going to choose that. You can't. It won't be both.
See, the security for the home settings is lower than the security for public.
Right.
Exactly. Because I'm looking at my system right now, and I'm on my home network here.
Yeah.
But it has both. Both firewalls are turned on for both public and home.
Mm,
so when I get over to her house or her area there,
yeah.
Should I disable the home?
Yes.
So turn off Windows Firewall onto the home network, but leave it on for
public. Don't turn it off.
Right.
Set it to public.
Okay. Right. We don't want the home configuration because when you're set up for home, you're able to see other machines on the quote-unquote network. And when she's set up that way, having both operating seems weird to me. Right, you shouldn't have both running.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah,
you would think it's one or the other, but here you're saying both really should be on. But as long as you set select public under the Wi-Fi setting,
you're more secure.
That's the best way to go.
Yeah, more secure.
Good information, guys.
All right, good luck, Marty.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, both. I wonder if he's looking at it differently than we'd expect him to.
Well, if you're in a domain, you see three different settings.
Yeah.
So if you're not in a domain, you know, you're going to see the two settings. And
yeah. All right. Let's go on to Ed in Wallingford. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
My question, well, first of all, is I'm getting rid of my old dinosaur Windows 7. The thing is so old, you have to shovel coal into it to make it work.
Wow. we love trying to help people with those
machines.
Screen
every other, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's time to go. My daughter gave me her relatively new Windows 10 laptop.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a
great
nice
daughter.
One.
Yeah.
But what's the best way to transfer songs, photos, and stuff from the old one?
From Windows 7 to Windows 10?
Yes.
So if it was me, I would copy it to an external drive because that gives me an extra backup.
Okay.
Plug the external drive into the new Windows 10 machine and copy it over. So now I've got my copy, which is a nice backup of my Windows 7 of all the data, and then I'm sending it to the Windows 10, and then I would have a nice safe place to put that drive. The drives are so inexpensive, it's call it a $50 or $80 extra backup of your old stuff.
So I can get that at like Best Buy?
Yeah, Best Buy, Staples. You know, that's what I would do. What would you do, Bob?
Basically the same.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was looking at this Windows Easy Transfer thing.
Doesn't really exist.
That doesn't work to Windows 10.
I figured it was like a transfusion from one to the other.
They deprecated it. You can go from Windows 7 to Windows 7.
Right.
But you can't go from Windows 7 to Windows 10. That was
so
a deprecated tool.
The best way.
I think a simple copy and paste to the drive is the best way, and that gives you a backup at the same time. Do you have a backup now, Ed?
Yeah, up to a certain point. I haven't done it for a few months.
Okay, so leave that backup alone and then just get this nice fresh one. Now you've got two shots at your data.
Okay, secondly, I have K9 in this one and it works great because I did it after you recommended it.
Yeah.
But what's this OpenDNS? Is this the same thing as K9?
Only better.
Okay, so I should do that instead of K9 on
the one. Configure OpenDNS. K9 was great for its time, but the logging just slowed everything down. We've long ago recommended OpenDNS.
Okay, and for the best virus program to do, I've been using the one that came with Windows.
Not anymore. That's not really a good choice anymore.
Okay.
Windows is like the fox garden of henhounds, the hen house there. I would tell you to go with Webroot.
Webroot?
Yeah.
If that's on your...
Oh, we'll have a link to Webroot, sure.
Okay, great. I'm going to just jotting this down. And Malwarebytes still good?
Only if you get infected or impacted. You only need that as a remediation tool. You don't need both.
Okay. So I don't need to really install Malwarebytes?
No.
Okay.
Only if you think you're impacted, you want to scan your system, download the free one and scan. But if you have the tools that we've recommended, a good antivirus like Webroot, and we're running OpenDNS, I've got three boys in my house. They're all now getting really old, but they haven't caused the issues that you would expect three boys to cause, because the technology we have in the house is exactly what I'm recommending. So
I really liked K9 because even at legitimate sites, you know, stuff that I would go to, it would warn me that this is probably not the best place to go.
OpenDNS will do the same thing. You can configure your system. So make sure you also configure the IP updater. And that way you can tell OpenDNS the type of sites you want to protect yourself from. And you can set the level of security, moderate.
Create your free home account.
Right.
Okay, so free home account.
Yeah, and that way you can choose categories you don't want to deal with. You can set the level of malware protections you want to set.
You can have a white list and a black list.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, it can be very specific.
Thanks a lot for your help. This is fantastic.
Well, good luck, Ed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Bob and I are live here in the studio. We are back. This is Computer Talk. Give us a ring. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have one line open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your comments, questions, and concerns. Really quick thing at the conference I was at Denver, there's one of the, there was a presentation that someone did that will freak you out a little bit. There's a product called Crystal. And this product will scrape all your social media from LinkedIn, Facebook, wherever you've given your information away, because you're the commodity, right? It'll scrape all that, and then it'll figure out your personality. Very scary, very accurate, very cheap. And so an example, this example is here. Hey, this guy Greg here tends to be direct, fast-paced, primarily driven to results or goals. Now, of course, if you're not one of those people, guess what? You're probably not going to get hired. So there's a tool out there now that's going to leverage all the information you put out on social media, either for you if you're a winner or against you if you're not. And be careful, because this tool is sick, scary stuff. I'll put a link up here for you. You can actually look at the application, but it knows you more as well as you know you. The problem is, if you have an employer that wants to employ you, you may find that they don't like the fact that you don't like to deal with authority, or you can't take direction, or you happen to be flighty, or whatever it's going to say about your personality. It says it. All thanks to your social media posts. This software is really kind of crazy.
So if you were young and foolish, and you made some mistakes early on in your life.
And your social media posting, you mean?
Yeah. Well, that could impact you big time.
It's going to. And the technology out here is here. And it's cheap. And is definitely being leveraged for good and against. So you also think about this. Also, you could maybe juxtapose this to what's going on with all the the recent violence out there. Imagine if they ran this tool against your social media post to see what you could be as an instant red flag warnings. That could be beneficial, right? To find who among us might be a little unstable.
It's like those dystopian movies where people go back in time to arrest people before they've done the crime.
Yes, like true crime, right? I don't know. Check it out for yourself. It's I saw it in action, and literally this guy looked at people's, LinkedIn, their social media. He literally could say, okay, you're apt to do this, 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 this. You like this, 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 this. This is your personality for this, 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 this. And they were like, whoa. I mean, they were flabbergasted about how much the app knew about them.
But were they correct?
They were, yeah. Oh, yeah. Correct.
This guy is unhinged and...
Imagine that.
Instituted.
Yeah, imagine the guy gets up and he's at the bar with the guy showing him thing. He just slowly walks up and walks away. I can't tell this guy anything. This app is out there, and it's going to be even more and more creepy out there because we've given everybody our information, all our tendencies, all our everything.
Well, not all of us.
Not all of us. There you go. There you go, Bob. So we put it out there. It's called Crystal Knows, and check it out. It's going to freak you out. Let's go to your calls, Adam in Terryville next. Hey, Adam, what's up?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Now, my friend, he has this old computer that he was moving into his new house, and he found it, and he was like, hey, I have a bunch of old pictures on it, and it's a Windows Vista computer, and they don't remember the password to get into the desktop.
Yep.
I tried booting it into, like, safe mode, and the administrator account doesn't pop up, and there's no, like, repair options, so I'm guessing that it probably wasn't installed.
Right.
So how do you think I should go around? Could I just, like, take the drive out and plug into another computer and, like, take...
Yes, like, maybe you could.
Okay.
Vista wasn't that secure at all. So I bet you if you plug that hard drive into another machine where you already have admin credentials, admin access, that drive is probably wide open and available to look at those files. I don't think Vista is going to keep you out.
Okay, okay. Would a recovery CD bypass that, like, to get it back to, like, the desktop also? Or
it could wipe it completely clean. The recovery CDs of old were ones that would tend to wipe the machine and say, hey, you're back to it's working again. You're like, wait a minute, my data's gone.
Some of them would allow you to keep your
data, but this is Vista.
Program.
This is the one of the worst operating system Microsoft put out next to Millennium.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. So. Oh, okay, all right. So
Adam, you heard that? So you're too young to know that?
I'm 34, but
yeah, you probably are too young to know that.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. We're jealous.
Well, you know, he's a smart man because he asked the question.
Right.
Because we all know the one stupid question is the one you don't ask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, plug it into a machine, see if you can see the data. I'd be surprised if you couldn't.
Okay.
And just copy it over. Yeah, I would use put it into a USB enclosure and just plug it via USB. It's probably the easiest thing for you to do.
Okay, cool.
All right,
thanks a lot.
You got it, Adam.
All right, bye.
Bye. The one other thing I should have mentioned is that the drive is probably old IDE technology, so you need to get...
May need an adapter.
Adapter, yeah, for that enclosure. That's old. Vista's old. I mean, that kid, he wasn't even driving probably.
I almost forgot it existed.
I know.
You know what Service Pack 2 for Vista was?
I don't know.
Windows 7.
Oh, right. There you go. When I always heard the word Vista, it just reminded me of a cliff. And you're just, when you loaded Vista on your machine, you're just jumping off a cliff. That's the way I thought of it.
Well, I pretty much described it.
And then they had the Millennium Edition, the Me Edition, and then my gosh, that was a mess.
But they did that to test plug and play.
Right.
For Windows 2000.
Windows 2000. Ah, we were partying like it was 1999. All right, let's go to Charlie in Rocky Hill. What's going on, Charlie?
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. How are you?
Good, thanks. I'm running Windows 7, and just recently, everything I use an Internet Explorer, but it seems like every time I go to pay a bill or anything I do, it's telling me I need to update my browser.
Yeah, your old Windows Internet Explorer is probably not secure, and your banks and such are saying, hey, Charlie, update this thing. Or, you know, it's not secure. So you have to update your browser.
Or use a different browser.
Or a different browser. But then again, some of the banks and stuff only want to run an Internet Explorer.
I call it Internet Exploder for a reason.
how do I update Internet Explorer?
Oh, okay. We'll put a link up there for you, Charlie. We're coming against a hard break. We'll put it over at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll put a link to how to update Internet Explorer.
All right, I appreciate that.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay, and one other quick question.
Oh, you got a hold? We have a hard break. I can't take the question. If you want to hold on, you can ask it after the break.
No, that's okay.
All right, Charlie, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to stick around. Tom and Joe, hang on. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. And as I mentioned, I don't do a lot of traveling, but I was just traveling just recently. And I used Uber for the first time. I'm sure Matt's like, Uber, come on, I use that all the time. I used Uber for the first time on this trip. And what a stupid app. And I say this and with the utmost respect to Uber because they're doing well, right? But a guy like me who wanted to schedule a ride to pick me up in the morning to go to the airport for an early flight, I'm like, all right, I'm going to prepare. I went on, and, hey, yeah, you can schedule an Uber ride, no problem. Just click on the car with the clock on the destination thing. All right, fine. I'm YouTubing all this, trying to figure it out. There was no car with the clock. So I'm inadvertently scheduling Ubers to come pick me up that moment. And I had to cancel them instantly and say, sorry, guys, you know, I'm just trying to schedule a ride. Even the Uber drivers didn't understand why that little function was there. And it turns out, even Uber hit me with the response saying, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, you're supposed to hit the car with the clock. Well, it's not on the app, guys. You dinglings have decided to not make the icon available in areas where you can't schedule a ride, rather than tell you when you push the button it's not available in the area, right? I mean, that's all you had to do was make the app the same for everybody, which seems ridiculously logical, and then put that little car with the icon there. If you press it and say, oh, sorry, it's not available in this area, my problem would have been instantly solved. But no, I just spent a half an hour YouTubing and Googling chat rooms and how do you schedule a ride? Well, this is how you do it. I'm like, well, it's not here. I couldn't believe it. And so then now, of course, being a first-time Uber user, I'm wondering how many Uber drivers are awake when we had to get to the airport to get out of Denver. Well, it turns out a ton of them. They're up early in the morning out there. We actually had a nice ride from a guy who works at Amazon because out in Denver, you can't make a living without three or four jobs. You just can't survive in that area without this poor guy was up at 4 a.m. doing Uber, then gets to Amazon chucking packages. And then, you know, so he's got 12-hour days every day. That's the economy out there.
So it's low pay. A lot of people then.
I don't know what it is, but it's definitely you need two or three jobs to survive out there from what I was seeing on the news and for this poor guy doing the Uber. But the app, man, come on. Just tell me it's not available. Aren't you guys smarter than everybody? It's just silly.
Yeah, but you know what? They're probably not listening to the show either.
No, but I told them in the chat. I'm like, come on. Yeah. All right, let's go to Tom in Waterbury. He's got more important issues than my Uber problems. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning.
Morning.
About 2 weeks ago, I updated my Windows 10 program.
Okay.
And you're probably shaking your head now.
No. You should upgrade your operating system.
Okay. So what
version do you have now, Tom? Do you know?
No, the latest. It was just...
So you got the black screen of death.
No, I didn't get that. No.
Oh, good.
And he's cursing me, no. No, what I have now is... And then I updated all of my drivers. So
nice.
I did all of that.
Good.
And the problem I'm having is my fan is running almost constantly, revving at high speed.
Okay.
Until I go into Task Manager to find out what's running, to try to find out what's making the fan run, and then it will stop.
Just by you looking?
Just by me getting off. If I don't use the machine and it goes to the, I guess, home screen or whatever you would call that.
Mm-hmm.
Screensaver?
Yes. And then the fan will begin to run. But if I start to use any of the programs, it stops.
So that's bizarre because that's backwards. Obviously, the machine, when you're not using it, should be more idle. And what's happening is something is utilizing CPU. A lot of CPU to the point where your fan's kicking on because your machine's getting hot when you're not using it.
Yes, it's running constantly at high speed.
When you're not using it.
Correct.
So I'm going to throw this out there. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but there's something called cryptojacking that's happening. And cryptojacking is where the folks that are bad guys out there are tricking you into clicking on a link or something in your email that then has them load surreptitiously crypto mining software on your computer that is smart enough to only operate when you're not using the machine. It'll just sit there and hum really fast and work on your machine when you're not using it, and then it'll go dormant. You know, kind of saying, okay, Tom's using the machine. I got to hide over here a little bit. And then when you leave, it kicks back in. What you're describing sounds like that. Now, that's unfair because I was at this recent conference and it's stuck in my head. And so it may not be that. It could be you've got a bias problem where your bias is backwards as far as how it's operating and communicating with the motherboard. And you could have a sensor problem. But if it only happens when you aren't idle.
Set your power options back to default.
Yeah, change your power options. I would check to see if there are any motherboard driver updates or hardware updates there, BIOS updates you can do, because it could just be that your older machine is literally operating backwards in some way or just not properly communicating with the machine. Or you could have crypto jacking software, which is a big problem. You end up mining cryptocurrency for somebody else.
Okay. Well, when I go into Task Manager and look at app history, there's a huge amount of CPU time that's consumed by Microsoft Photos, which I don't even use.
That's weird. Try to remove the program. Can you uninstall Microsoft Photos?
No, I didn't. No, not this. No, I don't use it. So.
No, can you uninstall it?
So if
you
go, I don't believe so. I tried to.
I haven't tried it either. That's why I'm just curious.
No. I've looked to see if I can get rid of some of this stuff that that I don't need from either startup or for example in what was using the CPU time. And it's a huge amount compared to everything else. Everything else is fairly minimal. And
You can do it.
You can? Okay.
Yep. It looks like you can. We'll try to find a good answer, a good instruction to see if that does it. But if that thing's cranking up your CPU, that's bizarre. But that's how you do it, right? You go to Task Manager, you see what's consuming it. But you said the moment you do that, the fan kicks down and says, oh, Tom's working on it, right?
That's correct.
So that's the creepy thing. That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
If it's a problem like Photos, it shouldn't say, oh, I'm going to slow down right now because Tom's looking at me? No. Only the bad guys would do that. So I would recommend running a malware scan using Malwarebytes. I mean, maybe my hunch is wrong, Tom, but your computer sure is acting counter to normal.
Correct. Now, I made a system image before I did this update.
All right, that's good.
Anticipating this. So something would happen. So yeah. Should I just go back to...
No.
No?
The crypto, if you have a malware, they're working there too on Windows 7. It just wasn't kicking on your fan. So you brought over whatever you brought over when you did your upgrade. If this is the case, so I would first run a scan to see if there's any malware running on your system. You can uninstall that Windows Photo app, see if that solves it. Then yes, worst case, you could punt back to Windows 7, but still run a malware scan to make sure you're clean.
Oh well, I was running Windows 10 before. It was a Windows 10 update that I did 2 weeks ago, latest Windows 10 update.
Okay,
so. And everything was fine then. And so the system image that I have was before this latest update when I had no problems. So I understand what you're saying about the crypto jacking. But
yeah,
if it didn't exist 2 weeks ago, do you think it exists now? I mean, would it be...
Depends on what you did between now and 2 weeks ago.
No, just that update. Mm-hmm. Not much more. So.
Then yes, you could have some sort of weird... BIOS issue or driver update that's miscommunicating with your fan, or you have a clogged up fan on your CPU that just happens to finally be showing itself, causing the overheating. You may want to blow out the dust and see if that's it.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that, but it's hard to pinpoint exactly what the issue is because it goes away when you start working on your machine, which is a very suspicious thing to have happen.
Okay. Well, I'll do those things and we'll see what happens.
And we put a link up here to what crypto jacking is, and you can take a look at what that's all about.
Great.
All right, Tom.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. I mean, that could be all wet. I could be wrong. I mean, but it does seem odd that it would stop having the CPU crank like that the moment you started working on the computer.
See, you went to this IT seminar.
I know.
And they were passing out tinfoil hats.
I know. They weren't, though. those hats they were passing out were high-quality
tinfoil hats.
You know, I want to say it was more like I don't know.
Unfortunately, you have to be suspicious.
Carbon fiber hats is what we were getting. you have to be. Yeah, you just can't trust
it. There's no question about it because the bad guys are out there, and a lot of them are overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't need to come here to steal from you anymore.
No, they just do it right from there. They're sitting in their underwear in some third world country hacking your system as part of a club. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open. Joe, hang on. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. So we did put a link up here on cryptojacking, and right within the article, it talks about ways that cryptojacking hides itself the moment you bring up Task Manager, which is exactly what the last caller was saying was happening. Now, if that, I think I'm onto something here, that he might have crypto mining on his computer because of... Just read the article. I hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. But we'll put a link up there for Computer Taco Tab so you can check it out too to see if you are helping some crypto miner make some money on your CPU without you knowing it. Let's go to Joe in Berlin next. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Welcome back. Kind of missed you for the last few weeks.
Oh, we missed you guys too.
Hey, you know, just to let you know about you were speaking earlier about the what's online. I'm a self-employed, you know, one man show here,
mm-hmm.
and I've had liability insurance,
yeah.
You know, for 20 years,
sure.
and you know, it was $300-$400 a year.
Yep.
Then it comes up for renewal, and they went up to $32,000
for just you. And, huh?
Yep. And wow. So I, well, what, you know, what happened? I was with an independent insurance agency, and they said, well, you know, we went to shop, you know, for your best policy.
Mm.
And what happened is they had found, or the insurance company had found, a picture of my son at a fraternity party.
All right.
And he had the same name as I had.
Yeah.
And he was holding a beer bottle.
Uh-huh.
And they said because of my alcoholic tendencies, I was not a good...
You're kidding.
Nope.
Wow.
And, of course, I went ballistic. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even drinking. He was the designated sober person.
Ironically. Yeah. Ironically.
And they just happened to catch him a picture, you know, cleaning up the place. And
and linked it to you.
There was no way I could fight that. All the insurance companies had this information already. They share all this information. And
it's public. You put it on the public cloud. He put it on the public cloud and in the social media, and that's the problem. We are volunteering this stuff.
Yep. So it. I was not a happy camper, but
no.
It hurt my business. I lost a couple of good customers, but what can you do?
So wait, you couldn't straighten it out, Joe? They wouldn't give you any insurance?
No.
And that was the reason they blamed it on. Period. You couldn't explain it.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, I explained it, but it didn't matter.
Wow, that's a scary story. Joe.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Thank you for sharing it. But that's, I think, where we're going. The more we stick out in the cloud, the more we're going to get nailed by our own.
The thing is what they nailed him for, he didn't even do.
Right. That's awful. Where's the ACLU, Joe? How come they're not coming to help you?
I got another story for you, but this is not the place for it.
All right. But, well, thanks for sharing. I appreciate that.
The reason why I called.
Oh, yeah.
I have a new computer here.
Yeah.
Fairly new.
Yeah,
and I noticed that when I went to look at my network connections, I have an Ethernet connection called Network 26, which I did not have a clue where it came from.
All right.
So I went to my router, and it's hardwired. It does show a plug.
Okay, so it's plugged directly into the back of your computer.
Right, from the router to the computer.
Yeah,
and I checked the IP address and the WAN address, and they're both the same. I'm just curious, where did Network 26 come from? Where did this name come from?
I can tell you.
Oh, okay.
What happens is, you're a consultant, so you plug into a lot of different networks. So what happens is every time you plug into a different network, a registry entry is created. So you have a network, and then you have a network one. And the next one you connect to is network two, and so on and so forth.
Oh,
and so it keeps climbing up, and then there's a registry. So, this is a new network. So it's network 46.
Yeah. That's all it is, Joe. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? That's exactly because now I'm trying to convert all my customers over to the newer computers so that we can just connect over the Ethernet instead of me doing a service call. I can fix their machines.
Right.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was easy. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Joe.
Okay.
All
bye. Right.
Bye. Bye. But yeah, all these companies are going to use our data against us.
Yeah, so they can squeeze us for more money.
And that Crystal software, check it out. It is frightening and cheap. Let's go to Al in Windsor next. Hey, Al.
Hi, gentlemen. Don't often have a chance to listen to you, but coincidentally, I was listening to you guys this morning.
Nice.
My monitor was on for hours. I hit the mouse to reactivate it, and it made all kinds of noises and start smoking.
Oh!
And I was wondering, I had just bought a new wireless mouse, and the insert into the computer was humming a bit. Would that have anything to do with it, do you think?
No. The monitor just said, I'm done.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So part two then, it always happens at the worst time. I've got to do a lot of surfing. And I basically just use the computer for, internet surfing. So I don't pay any bills or anything.
Yep.
So Chrome advertises themselves as being the safest as far as picking up bugs and stuff like that. Is that basically true, do you think?
It's a browser. So, yeah. I mean, I run my cell phone is based on Chrome. It's a Pixel 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all sorts of apps that can infect my phone. Okay. So same thing is going to happen with the Chrome browsers, too. The same thing. You run based on apps. So they can claim whatever they want. It's not a true operating system. However, we are looking forward to the days when Microsoft has good competition so they actually can improve their operating systems to the point where we're not having all sorts of problems with them. So we encourage other operating systems into the market, but I wouldn't just do it for that reason, Al. And if it's just your monitor that blew, or is it an all-in-one?
Well, the thing is, I was nursing the whole system till when they stopped using updating Windows 7.
Okay.
I mean, I bought the computer for like $50 8 years ago. The monitor was from my neighbor,
Yeah. But you can just go buy a separate monitor right now if you wanted to and plug it in, and you're back up and running. And that way, when and if you change out that machine, which I suspect you will be, you can buy a separate computer. The Chrome is more of just thinking of it as a tablet operating system. It's I think if you can run everything that way, great, but most of us need a true operating system, which is Microsoft.
Okay. So, again, getting back to the Chrome, if I'm just surfing the internet, does that suit my needs?
Yep. If you're just surfing the internet and there's nothing else you're doing, the Chrome will work fine.
Okay.
Chromebook.
And would there be something comparable to that, just like a laptop or with a built-in monitor that I could look at too?
Oh, of course. You can go find a Chromebook, they're called,
mm-hmm.
and probably for $300 get back up and running.
Okay, beautiful. Again, I appreciate your show, and thanks for your help.
Thank you, Al.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's it. We're back, and we're done. I want to thank you guys for being here on this Saturday morning. It's been our pleasure to be here, and we did miss you guys over the past few weeks. It's odd that we have three in a row. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works by Mike G, who listens and posts everything out there. Of course, we're podcasted, so you can go ahead over to radio.com and get our podcast if you missed the show or want to listen to us anytime. So thank you, Matt, for producing.
See you next week.
Dr. Leslie's up next too, I think.